Recording in progress.
Sorry.
I got some kind of message.
Sorry, I just started the recording. Yes, I have everyone. I guess just for the record that Nor Valley and Wheeler are excused.
And everybody else is here.
Yes.
Okay. First item on the agenda. I've been waiting for this for a year. Election of a chair. So the first item is an election of a chair. So do we have any nominations?
I'll give a quick, Michael, you've done it for 1 year. You're allowed 2 consecutive years. And then Heather said that she knows how it is, and if no one else wants to either do chair or vice chair, she would throw her hat in the ring. So I'm not just saying that because she's not here.
Okay, so what you're saying is that I could easily be nominated for my second term?
You could, yes.
That sounds like a good idea.
I agree. I nominate Michael.
Who said that?
I'll second that.
I'll tell you what, I have to keep track of these because it's payback time. So I think Emily, is she involved in this? Or no? All right. Well, you have it done.
Yes.
So we got a motion and a second to let me fulfill my second term as chair. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I guess it's unanimous. It wouldn't look good if I voted against myself. Okay, so then we need the election of the vice chair.
I nominate Heather.
Mm-hmm. I second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to nominate Heather, and I think that's her. Is that her second term
yes.
Also?
It is, yes.
Okay, so having heard the nomination, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Another unanimous. There never seems to be an argument on these two items. I don't understand them. So, next item. Modify and adopt the agenda as proposed. So do I have a motion to either adopt it or, I guess, adopt it would be the issue.
I move to adopt the agenda.
Okay, so we have a motion to adopt. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda as is proposed. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay, minutes from the March 22nd meeting, which we just received, well, those we received a month ago. So do we have a motion to approve those minutes? March 22nd, 2021.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, and a second?
I'll second.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. Are there any discussion on those minutes? If none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried. Okay, the second minutes from the last meeting, April 26, 2021. So again, a motion to approve those minutes would be in order.
I'll move.
Okay, a motion to approve it, and do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right, motion and a second. Are there any other discussions on those minutes? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Sherry. Announcements. Trevor, do you have anything or anybody else after Trevor's done?
I do not have anything.
Okay. Does anybody else have any?
We just had the press conference for the 20th anniversary of the opening of Fox River Trail. We had a lot of people there, a lot of press coverage. We're hoping for at least 20 more years.
I even saw it on TV.
Yeah.
That was good.
I was holding the ribbon that they pulled apart.
Anybody else? Okay. Thanks, Becky. All right. Public appearances. I don't see anybody, but maybe there's somebody in the works somewhere.
A Marine is present. I'm not sure if she wishes to speak or.
Who is that?
Marine.
I don't know. Have...
No?
No.
Okay.
She just went off.
I don't even see her on here as even a voice. So.
Just my name is showing.
Your name is showing.
Okay.
I don't know, video on the computer. Thank you. Okay.
All right. So we got through public appearances, which there were none. And one of the items that we wanted added over the next few meetings are the discussion on the comprehensive plan update and the current comprehensive plan. So I went through it today, and Trevor, you got your hands full. So I'll turn the meeting over to Trevor to review Chapter 1, Issues and Opportunities, and Chapter 2, Land Use.
Sure, and let me attempt to share my screen here. All right, can you see the document, the comprehensive plan document?
Yep.
Great. Yeah, so so it was interesting just looking back and looking at it closer. The first chapter talks about some of the public process that was involved and how they originally identified some of the issues and opportunities. The original process took 17 months. 12 public meetings back in 2002, and was officially adopted in February of 2004. But the first page here really talks about the state adopted a comprehensive planning law, and that required all villages and cities to have a comp plan, and they've identified in that they call a smart growth law some key strategies to consider. So these are pretty generic strategies that are that you probably find in a lot of different comp plans, because again it reflects the smart growth law. Then we get through the planning process. And this is something that I guess I wanted to draw the attention to. They had a steering committee back in 2002 that met. All those meetings were public. Like I said, they had 12 meetings over a course of 17 months. Then they also had a visioning session in 2002. So at the start of the planning process. And based off of the really old photos, it looked like they filled the pavilion down at Green Isle and had a decent turnout. In addition to that, they also had a survey, which they put out. And through all that, and some stakeholder interviews, and then said other public forums, so I'm guessing other committee meetings and that sort of thing. From that, they were able to come up with the comprehensive plan goals and objectives. And if you read through the 30 goals, they all kind of follow, they all have to do with either development patterns, infrastructure, services, or safety. So there's quite a few mentioned here. The first one was provide safe and consistent quality drinking water. At the time, Alloway was transitioning from well water to municipal serviced water, and soon after this developed the Central Brown County Water Authority. So that was something that was, I guess, a hot topic at that time. Another issue that would have been a hot topic around this time was they mentioned it here, developing a disaster plan to address terrorism and that sort of thing. 2002 was obviously immediately following 9/11. So those were some like historical things that would have impacted the direction of the plan. But a lot of the other stuff was pretty, in my opinion, timeless, things that we're still hearing today. The village should promote development, which generates a stronger tax base, preserve the residential community quality. Again, like I said, provide good services to the community. This one was interesting. The village should create a better urban space and identify by developing a village center with a new village hall. So for those of you that are new to the area, the old village hall used to be located on Webster Avenue, where Zimbaldi Brewery is now. And at the time, when they were looking at relocating, they were looking at relocating across the street from where the current village hall is now and creating a village center there with some multifamily housing surrounding it and some commercial and that sort of thing. That didn't pan out the way they wanted to. They eventually bought this land where the current village hall is now and built that. But it's just interesting because back in 2002, the residents at the time wanted a urban space or some sort of village center for an identity purpose, and that's something that we're now trying to create on Webster and St. Joseph. So, different location, but still the same goal, which I thought was interesting.
Hey, Trevor, I have a question, and I'm not sure how you want to handle questions.
Yeah,
Because I know that as you get going here, if everybody's got questions, then this is just going to take forever, but one question I have is, there's a long list here. Is it everything that anybody proposed, or was it everything was written down and then somebody went through it and listed it? Or how did they come up with so many of them? Like I said, is it just what everybody said? Or
no, they have the full complete list in the appendix in the back. So this does not include everything that was talked about. I don't know how they came up with this, or how they weeded this through, if it was the most common ones. It says the top issues were identified by workshop participants. So I'm not sure if they had a survey and then at the workshop at Green Isle, everyone voted on the top 30 issues. That I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, you're right. It is quite a long list. There are some duplicated things. There are a couple things that talk about economic development, a couple of things that are maintaining services, and a couple of things that talk about better connectivity for pedestrian and bicycle issues. Those were some of the repeats that I noticed. And obviously maintaining the residential, along with economic development, maintaining the residential feel and green space and that sort of thing.
I only ask the question, is it better to have a lot or better to have a few that you feel are really critical or important? We don't have to discuss it now. That's why I asked the question, why there's so many of them. get so many, it's all of a sudden it gets washed out. You don't really have the focus you like. Okay. So I assume if somebody has a question, they should just ask you.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you know, that's a great point, Michael. Some of these are like really specific, too. I'm trying to find one right now, but they could be more broad focused. Encourage economic development. You know, like I mentioned, there's three or four in here that kind of follow that same theme. Maybe it's not as broad as just encourage economic development, but is there a way that we can consolidate some of these? Or there's something new and completely different, and yeah, keep it high level, but specific enough that it gives us good direction. So, like I mentioned, they had the visioning session. They identified all these. The complete listing is included in the appendix. But yeah, so this whole public process was, I guess, directed or coordinated by Brown County Planning Department. So,
Trevor.
Yes.
I came into working with the village. I moved in 2002 and started working on the issues in 2004, and so I just was at the tail end of this. But I know if you have specific questions, that Cole Runge was the one who actually worked on this plan. So if you want to know things about, like, at the meetings and stuff, you can just contact him, because I know that at the time he was one of the planners, and he was the one who did a lot of the work on this one.
Okay. And he has an amazing recall on his history.
Yeah, and he's a village resident now, too.
Yep.
From De Pere. And another comment is, I guess I hadn't really looked. I'm just shocked that they have anything about pedestrian or bicycle that they should continue, you know, because in 2004, the village board was, like, not, they were very much against any bicycle, pedestrian, you know. The board members themselves weren't necessarily against it, but they were sure that any mention of the word would bring out pitchforks and angry villagers with torches. So they didn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole in about 2004. So I'm just surprised that it's in there and the village residents were talking about it in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me happy.
Yeah, I did find that pretty interesting, too, because Becky, from my understanding, that's how it historically was in the village, and yeah.
Yeah, and it was partially in about 2005, 2006, the group that I worked with talked the village board into changing how sidewalks were paid for, and that is what made the difference in their acceptance, because they were, if they put them, the village wanted to put them in a project, the village paid for the road, and if the sidewalk was supposed to go in, then the resident had, whose house it was in front of, had to pay 100% of the cost. And that was why they were always being knocked down. They're like, I don't pay anything, I'm not paying for that in front of my house if the other residents don't have to pay for it in front of their house. You know, and it was that was the major consideration. And so we argued for fairness and said that the roads and the sidewalks and the bike lanes and everything had to be paid for the same way, because they were all transportation and all, you know, that it was not fair to single out any one form of public, you know, transportation in the community to be paid for differently than another. And so that was the change in about 2005, I think it was, that went through.
So where that got us.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's got, there is, 2002, there was not a single sidewalk, bike lane, anything put in the village. And from 2005 to now, there's been, you know, there was Hoffman Road, there's Green, there's just been the Safe Road School, there's just been a lot, and I'm very happy.
Trevor, I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
Regarding this. This is Sarah, by the way. Are we looking to just review this, or are we looking to, like, update and change it? Like, what's the...
Yeah, the angle, Sarah, yeah, and you came in, I think, last month would have been your first meeting, so you're coming into this. Our angle is to update this document. So this document really should dictate any decisions that the Plan Commission, most of the land use decisions that the Plan Commission makes.
Sure.
And so it should be updated every 20 years. Well, it should be updated every 5 to 10 years. But it should be extensively updated every 20 years. So we're approaching that 20-year mark.
Another question. Are you able to, like, email us the first two chapters?
Yes. Yeah.
I just have bad eyes, and I can't see that small print.
Oh.
So, it's fine.
Yep.
Thank you. And then, so we're going to look this over and then come back eventually, let's say in the next year, and cross off things, redo, update. That's the plan. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess we're talking about how to approach the document.
Sure.
Should we hire a consultant to do the work? That's kind of the way I'm leaning. Or should it just be kind of this is good enough, we should just do updates here or there, which would be okay. I think some of this stuff, though, is dated. Maybe some of these goals and objectives are still being talked about, but I think there's some new ones that could be identified through a public process. And then as we get further on, I think there are other items that kind of date the plan as well. But ultimately, that would be I would like Plan Commission's input on that to recommend it to the Village Board for if we do hire a consultant, I would like to be able to put a placeholder in the budget for next year, which we'll start talking about in like 2 or 3 months here. So,
Sarah, the reason that Trevor is going through this is to make sure that we all get a chance to review it without having to sit down and look at it, and he can offer his comments, and then if we have a question, we can ask the question. But not only whether we hire a consultant, the discussion's gone as far as do we hire Brown County Plan to just update this because they wrote it,
right,
versus going to a consultant and having a whole different format, spend a lot more money, which might be worthwhile, it may not be worthwhile. So there's a lot of things that you haven't been involved in. But tonight it was intended just to go through it, you know, chapter by chapter. And you can, by the way, which I did, can go out to the village site and you can link right into it and read the whole document if you want, or print it or however. So.
Yeah, I'll send everyone a link following this meeting. And I think there's 8 chapters in here. If you have a suggestion on how you would like to go through this in the future, if different than this format, let me know. I'm definitely open to hear suggestions. So,
Trevor, as far as consultants, is this something that you've asked Duncan about, just given that they did the zoning code rewrite?
I haven't, no. But that'd be a good party to reach out to, for sure. They did a really good job.
Their language and so forth.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Are there any items on this list of can be struck?
I think item number 20 for sure. The village should maintain its existing zoning. I mean, now we should, because we just updated it, but that was something that we just changed. So, let's see here. So then, further on in this chapter, it highlights the goals and objectives of the different chapters within the plan. So this, I think this first chapter is more of like an executive summary, if you will. It touches on everything but doesn't go into detail. So I won't go through all of these necessarily, but because we do go through them further in other plans. But I will go through the kind of skip to the summary of this chapter. And to Becky's point, I was kind of surprised to see this as well, just based off the timing of when this was written, but promote concepts of a walkable and livable community. I mean, those are things that we're striving for now, but it's just the timing of this historically, from what I've heard, that wasn't necessarily an objective. This is something I do hear all the time now. But just something interesting. The demographic trends in the village, it talks about, obviously this will all have to be updated with, and it'll be great timing because the new census data should be released fairly soon by the time we start working on some of this. But it is just interesting looking at some of this. They talk about the high growth period was between 1960 and 70, and then it kind of tapered off at that point. That's when, obviously, Alloway was really well developed, and we kind of hit our boundaries, and then we stayed consistent for a while. Something I always like to point out when I'm questioned about this dip here, between 2000 and 2010, and this is just a fun fact to point out. In 2000, the U.S. Census data included the inmate population from GBCI, and then in 2010, they removed that population from the Village of Alloway. So that is the reason behind that dip there. The population trend is staying, I guess, generally the same. It does decrease a little bit, but that's pretty consistent with what we're seeing in a lot of places. Wisconsin as a whole, a lot of people are moving out. We are maintaining and attracting new people here, but people are moving out or having smaller families, and one child versus, two, three, six. Let's see. Age distribution is pretty much the same. If you look at the American Community Survey data, I think we're around 42 years of age is our median age, which is slightly older than Brown County's. However, I do anticipate that to change over time. I know there's a lot of homes that are turning over recently. Older families aging out of their homes and newer families moving in. So I do anticipate that number to change. Income levels, it talks about how we're one of the higher ones in Brown County. We're certainly still one of the higher ones. Suamico and Ledgeview are, I think, higher than us, but I think our median income is around $64,000, which is a lot higher than De Pere and Green Bay and Bellevue. So, yeah, a lot of this, like I mentioned, a lot of this data will be updated. We still, like I mentioned, home sizes are shrinking. Let's see what my notes. Employment forecast. This will be really interesting, especially coming out of the pandemic, how things change, and everyone's trying to speculate on how office is going to look moving forward. What I'm hearing as of last week is the office come back, but only about 80% of where it was. And then how those office spaces look like, you know, that's still to be determined. But so, yeah, that is chapter one. Any questions? Okay. Well, chapter two is pretty straightforward too. I'll go through this one, I think, a little bit more quickly. As we mentioned, Alloway is landlocked, and we're 97% developed. 61% of our development is residential of some type. We have about 4.5% commercial makeup, and you can see that this was updated as of 2012, this table. The thing that I always like to point out, and it kind of gets back to some of the goals and objectives that were identified, is we are 32.5% tax exempt with our different parks, GBCI, Heritage Hill, churches, cemeteries. That's a good portion of our landmass, of us already landlocked small community. That's I'm not going to say it's not productive, because it's definitely productive. It definitely offers services. However, it doesn't provide the tax dollars needed to provide some of the services the residents are looking for.
Can I ask you a question, Trevor?
Yes.
At one point, I think we had the highest percentage of any community in the county having non-taxable property. Is that still true?
That is still true. And I've tried to research to see where we stack among the state. And I haven't been able to find a number. I believe there's one or two small municipalities down in the Milwaukee area that are higher percentage than us. But again, I haven't been able to find a full comprehensive list of all Wisconsin communities. But you're correct, Becky, and we are the highest, to my knowledge, still in the county of tax exempt property. Multifamily, I know in subsequent plans we've found that we are deficient multifamily compared to a lot of other communities in Brown County. I don't recall offhand, and someone can do the quick math here to see what we're at, but I know in Brown County the average is around 20 to 22%. Of the housing makeup is multifamily, and I think we're somewhere around like 10 or 12%. So that is something that we've kind of been striving for it and trying to promote. And just something to point out while we're at this section. Existing land uses, this will likely change, and probably not much. So it kind of talks about we should encourage these other uses. We still see about anywhere from 0 to 5 lots sold every year, which is pretty pretty interesting just because we are fully developed almost, but they just pop up here or there. People have a double Y and they decide to sell it over time. And so there are some out there. Yeah, so a lot of this just looks at land use and where we can go from here. In my opinion, this chapter could be a lot more specific as far as goals, actionable steps to get some of these objectives. They talk about future land use regulations and that sort of thing, what they would like to see, but they don't have any actionable steps as far as how to get there necessarily. They do talk about some funding sources, but like Marine Street example, they would like to see it as a redevelopment site, but don't explain how to achieve that, where to even start.
If you're talking about specific steps, one of the things that I always thought that was lacking is some kind of a central location of for residents who want to improve their homes and maybe don't have funding, that we develop some kind of a revolving loan program for, you know, people to help them put roofs on. You know, that we have a lot of our houses are staying run down. And I think that Green Bay had, that we need to, maybe there is something, but it's just not well known to the residents and people who could use it. But I don't think there's anything that the Village of Alloway has. But even to just be able to say, here's where you can turn as a private lender and go here, that we really need to be super encouraging and of people keeping their property.
You're right, Becky. We do have, there is something that Brown County offers through a block grant, but there is a income threshold that you need to meet, and we've provided that resource opportunity to some residents that are struggling, and frankly that income threshold is pretty low, and so it, at least in Alloway, especially with our median income, a good number of residents don't meet that, and maybe there is something that we could provide in addition to that. I know the city of Appleton just sent out an RFP specific to one neighborhood and around their downtown, west of their downtown, I believe. And they want an action plan developed specifically how to rehab and preserve that neighborhood, because it is older homes, there's ongoing maintenance that's involved with it, and unless you're preserving that infrastructure, you know, housing is infrastructure, you know, your tax base diminishes over time, maybe you don't attract young families because they're not able to afford the maintenance, the upfront maintenance cost with, you know, that's needed with some of the homes. You could go into a lot of detail on that for sure. Yep. And I think, you know, I think some of that should be mentioned in any new plan. Maybe not to a real in-depth discussion, but at least give us some starting points of where to start on that stuff. So this is getting at where, or this table shows what you talked about, Becky, alloy in comparison with DePere and Howard. DePere is the second highest community with a 19.5% tax exempt, and Howard is 18.3%, at least in 2012. This kind of maps out all the tax exempt properties in the village at the time. And then this provides a summary of recommendations. Obviously, what's not included in here is any mention of the corridor study and how land use should be looked at to achieve some of the goals outlined in the corridor study. Again, there's not even any mention of any TIF, which was developed in 2012. That'd be a good strategy to utilize to try and get some of these land use goals achieved, like multifamily and that sort of thing. So that's the end of chapter 2. Is there any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. I was just out of curiosity. I think you said a little while ago that you would push for more multifamily dwellings in LA.
Yeah.
And yet, that would be the last thing I would do because of the problems that are associated with multifamily. Could you explain a little bit why you would promote multifamily over just residential? And, you know, when I'm looking at multifamily, I don't know if I include duplexes, but I would include anything above and beyond a house.
Yeah.
Apartments and so on. Apartments is pretty much transit people, and it's usually, you know, issues with law enforcement and school issues, and it goes on and on. It almost seems like there's more problem than there's benefit, but you appear to have a different thinking on it, so I was curious about it.
Yep. So what we've been hearing is a lot of residents, as they age out of their homes, they're not able to keep up with the upkeep of their homes, and so, but they want to stay in LA. They're independent still. They don't need any nursing facility, or maybe they're a snowbird and they only want to live here part time. So, apartments and condos are a great opportunity for those residents to age in place, to stay in the community. And then I've also heard people that grew up in LA or grew up in the area want to move to the area, not quite ready to put down roots or buy a home or something like that. And there's just not any apartments available, so they end up going downtown or out to Urban Edge in Suamico, Bellevue, other places. And I think multifamily done right, you can avoid some of those concerns down the road for sure. Those multifamily concerns typically with what the rent is for. I should be careful with how I say this, but new rent for new apartments you're gonna attract a affluent crowd, I guess I should say. And not saying that there's a connection between wealth and crime, or but with the attraction of multifamily, you also, if you do it in concentrated areas, you also are able to build that density that then is able to attract more commercial that we're looking for. So I'm thinking of mixed use up, developments in our, what we've identified as our village center. So then you accomplish two goals there. You're able to provide that different source of housing, and you're also able to provide that density needed to provide the commercial for other, which commercial is what other residents are also seeking. So I'm not necessarily suggesting that we open up the floodgates to multifamily, but I think we do need to encourage some different housing options.
Can I add some? I kind of am along the same lines with Trevor in that, from a village and a tax base perspective, the more use you have per square mile, the less the services cost per person that we have to provide, and the larger lots, and you know, just make for higher property taxes for individual owners, and that an apartment complex is worth a lot more money. It's going to bring in more tax revenue. The fire truck doesn't have to drive as far. There's more they can afford to buy another ambulance. You know, density makes for an economy of scale in municipal services. And so, you know, density done right is a really good thing. You know, a community with really big lots has to pay a lot of money for the roads that don't serve a lot of cars. You know, that kind of thing. So, I think that we don't have any more room to do many more individual single-family homes here, and I really think we need to be infilling where we can with businesses and with apartments and stuff, because like Trevor said, it also attracts places like coffee shop. You know, a coffee shop isn't going to be open if there's not enough people in the neighborhood to get there, kind of thing. So that's kind of the my take on it, and that, you know, individual cases of police calls to individual properties can be taken care of on an individual basis and shouldn't be part of Shaw apartment then. We're also just seeing a lot more people just aren't buying houses for their entire lives. The home ownership rate for 20-year-olds, 20 to 30-year-olds is dropping. So we want to attract those to the community, and they're just not buying houses. So we need to look at it from that perspective too.
Yeah, I think I probably maybe misinterpreted what Trevor said, only standpoint. When I look at multifamily, I'm looking at apartments. I'm not looking at in condos. And I live in a condo. I move back to Alloway. I live in a condo, and it's more dense. And I understand that, but I would argue from a standpoint of people living in Alloway, they don't want multifamily high density. They want the homes the way they are. And that's part of the reason we have problems with the sidewalks on Roselawn, because of their homes and why they like to keep them. So, you know, it's a really fine line as to what's right or what's wrong or what's better or what's worse. But, you know, I understand and agree with everything that's been said. It's just I was curious more than anything. So.
Yeah, I think in really identifying where you want that multifamily is critical too. Again, I would like to build density so that we can help attract the commercial that would make our village center that was identified in the corridor study vibrant. So I'm thinking specifically Webster and St. Joseph, that area, maybe areas along Riverside. But to the point of one of the goals and objectives that were mentioned in the first chapter of this plan, trying to attract that commercial development but still preserve the residential integrity should definitely be a priority of any and all decisions.
First, I just want you to know, when I grew up on Alloway and Webster was the center of the community, not St. Joseph's and Webster. So I still think of it as that's the center.
The schoolhouse and the corner store, right?
Yep.
And the town hall, right? We're all kind of there.
Town hall was there, and barbers and grocery store. Not grocery store, because grocery store was always down by St. Joseph's there. But you know, there was a store there, the old grocery store in the corner.
You can get ice cream in that there, right?
And Oliver's was next door to him. Next door to that with ice cream and whatever. So, but it goes back a lot of years. Yeah. Anyway, sorry I brought it up.
No, that's great. No, that's a great discussion point specifically.
If this plan is going to be good for another 20 years, I think we need to look more objectively at what the people of Alloway are going to want over the next 20 years, not as it is today.
Try to figure that out.
Well, look at, like Trevor said, families are getting smaller. People are looking for more downtown living, be it condos or apartments or whatever. It's nice to have individual homes, but if we aren't going to be attracting people who are going to be living here for years, what do we need to do to attract people?
Yeah, and that's that was a question or a conversation I was having the other day, actually, at what Becky said was that ribbon cutting for the 20th anniversary. I was talking to Wello, the organization focused on health in the community. And the conversation is starting to shift from nationally, from communities attracting large employers to then attract residents, to now how can a community attract just a resident? Which so before, people would move to an area because they got a job here or because they work in the area. Now what we're seeing is people will move to an area because they like the area and then find a job. Or even after COVID now, they think that working from home will continue to some degree, and so people will be able to live where they want to live and not necessarily where their employer is based. So in my opinion, it's a lot more work that's involved to try to attract a specific resident than a individual employer. So, again, it's a philosophy being discussed right now. But
we're pretty well done with your presentation on this section, Trevor.
Yes.
Does anybody have any other? He had asked if anybody has any other questions.
My 30-year-old daughter, single and would like to live in Alloway and get out of Fort Jones. pump, and she just reminded me of that because she happens to be at the house and she's listening to this conversation, and she said, is anywhere anybody can afford to live, and she can't afford to live here. So she'd like to, but she can't afford to. So that's part of the multifamily, you know, smaller places, is that that's a big part of the conversation. People that grew up here can't afford to live here.
And I would probably guess right now that they probably couldn't find a place even if they could afford it. That's how tough it is. Okay, so Trevor, we're pretty much done with this item.
Yes.
And move on to recorded discussion on village projects and properties update. So turn it over to you or to Brad.
Yeah, Brad, I was hoping you'd cover that one. It's the the American Rescue Plan, is that on there first?
I'll do that one.
No, it's not on the agenda.
Oh, yeah, number 10.
Number 10.
The American Rescue Plan. Did you find it, Michael?
No, I don't. You have numbers on mine. They're all bullets.
10th bullet?
Well, I have to call. Give me a second.
There you go.
So do we have any? Yeah, I don't even have. That's not even the one I have. All right, so anything on village projects and properties update, if we're going to go to, what is it, number, I'm sorry. Do it. Number 10.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be relatively short on this. For those that may know or not know, the village should be receiving $1.37 million under the American Rescue Act plan. The funds can be used for, at this point, a series of about five different categories. And one about being economic development, infrastructure, water, sewer, broadband. What I'm going to be looking at doing is the biggest thing that we want to come out of this is getting general public participation in where this fund should be spent and how it should be spent. So over the next several months, we'll be putting together some either surveys, postings on the village website, Facebook, etc., to try to get an indication from our residents on the best use of this funds, because it's the taxpayer's money. It's not the Village of Alloway's money. Knowing that it is, again, specific where it can go, but again, I think the avenue of getting public participation, having a good discussion, probably looking at 2 to 3 public meetings on how these funds could be utilized. It's not a foot race to get this this amount spent. We have until the end of December 31st of 2024 to expend the money. And again, since it is the taxpayer money, we want to make sure that the funds are going to the right projects that have been identified by the public. So over the next several months, you'll be seeing some information coming out. Hopefully, the U.S. Treasury will define further exactly what is allowed and what is not allowed. And then in the course of this, over the next few months, we can learn from other communities how they're utilizing their funds and challenges that they're coming across. But again, it's not a foot race. I think we should take a little bit of time to digest, get the public involvement, and then set a course forward. So that's all I'm saying on the American Rescue Act plan, unless anybody has any questions.
Brad, are there any topics that the village has considered so far?
Not really, other than staff just having some conversations about putting money, potentially putting in money in for some sort of a economic development loan aspect, a revolving loan, maybe the seed money as a potential, paying for infrastructure on future projects over the next couple of years. The state and county are both working on the broadband aspect, so I think that should be all addressed. And that's the other thing. We want to find out what are the projects that the county is going to undertake, what are the projects the state of Wisconsin is going to undertake, and not duplicate some of those other aspects. So I think learning a little bit more what everyone's doing should be very beneficial for us.
Probably going to have to stay a little bit cautious because if Biden plans to throw $4 trillion in the infrastructure,
exactly,
you don't really want to spend this on infrastructure if that happens. So I would think, I don't know, but you don't know what you're going to get or not get. So Becky's suggestion about money available for interest or no interest loans for people who fix their houses up or whatever, if there isn't, this might give an opportunity for that. So.
And putting this before various committees and commissions, it's just more people to help think or get the thought process going. And so no ideas are missed. You know, we want to get the word out as much as possible.
Any other questions? Brad, thanks. So now I've got my number to number 11. Village projects and properties update.
I just wanted to provide quickly that we are working with a group on the corner of Webster and St. Joseph, and for the redevelopment of the mall there. And now that the mall is vacant, we can continue those discussions a little bit more earnestly. We can look at the next steps that need to be taken to redevelop that property, and hope to have a lot of good news to share within the next few months on that project. So.
Trevor, the last one I saw, and there were one of them was Cops. Were they gone? Where did they go? And how about the last couple? Everybody go down as Baldies?
They're actually scrambling to get in there.
Chocolate and beer.
Right? Unfortunately, Cops decided to close their doors permanently. And some of the other businesses were able to relocate, with the exception of Gallagher's, they've all relocated outside of the village, unfortunately. But the primary reason for that is there's just nowhere else for them to go. We don't have a lot of built environment for them to relocate to. We have some existing vacant office, but aside from that, there's not a lot of built-out restaurant spaces or things of that nature where they could go to, which made it challenging. We did work with the businesses to try and find them locations within the village. The village board also offered some incentive to the businesses that would be able to relocate in the village to try and keep them here. But ultimately, you got to go where it's best for your business. And, whether that be rents or build out spaces or even financing options. I know with this climate, it's hard to get financing from some of the lending institutions for restaurants and that sort of thing. So, So, to answer your question, Michael, I'm sorry. Rambled there.
Yeah, I just, first I just want to note that I got a message across the screen that I have an internet not stable, so if I'm lost, you guys carry on. I'm up in northern Wisconsin, so if I get lost up here, you will probably won't see me anymore tonight. The one comment I would make on that is my sister lives on River Lane. And she got a letter from the DOT on Riverside and the reconstruction of Riverside. Not exactly sure what year it was, but I know that they're planning on reconstructing it between the curb lines, which sounds to me like if there was any intent to do any sidewalk, that there's no sidewalk involved in the project, but maybe you guys know more about that, which has always been kind of a sticking point for any time you want to go east and west, there's nothing going north and south there. So she asked me my comments on it, and I said my comment would be it's kind of like replace in kind. And if they're going to replace in kind, that means they're not going to take any right away. They're not going to be putting sidewalks in. That would be a concern I have, but I guess I'm only one person and my sister's one person. So just be aware that a letter was sent out. You guys, I'm sure, already know that or have seen it.
I actually was not aware they sent out a letter.
I believe in 2026 they're looking at doing what they did about 7-10 years ago, just mill and overlay.
Yep. Which means, again, you know, here's a major road where a north-south opportunity and there's no plan for any other movement, so it's kind of a rabbit. Anything else? Projects and properties? Anything?
At the last village board, the bonding was approved. So we did a refinancing of an existing bond and then took on some additional debt for some street projects. 1,400 feet the first 1,400 feet from Riverside Drive easterly on Roselawn. Beaumont Street and Call are all being major reconstruction projects. The village board also approved an engineering agreement or contract with Strand and Associates. The village received a federal grant for reconstruction of part of Libel Street and a resurfacing of part of Libel Street. So that project is a 2024 project that will span from 172 all the way up to Colb Avenue. So it's a long, very detailed project, but it's funded 80% by federal government. With that comes a lot of red tape, but it'll be a nice project when it's all said and done. Green Isle Park is getting a little more of a facelift this year. Funds have been allocated for increasing the playground down there, which will be a big draw for that area. Although Green Isle is already a very popular park, but given what the Miracle League Field, the number of people the Miracle League Field draws, I think it'll be a real nice addition. And Alloway Fest is coming up. Oh, that's an announcement, sorry. I'll wait on Alloway Fest.
No, I think that does a good job covering item 12 too.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Sorry.
No, two birds, one stone.
I don't want to lose Michael.
So we're done with 12. Unless somebody has any other comments. Hearing none.
I guess, Michael, just one other comment for parks, and I know I've mentioned this before, but just continue to keep your eyes and ears open for opportunities to provide input on the comprehensive outdoor rec plan that the parks is doing. That'll be taking place this summer, so.
Yep.
That's it. Sorry.
No, no problem. So where do you see announcements on here, Brad? You want to make an announcement?
Way up at the top. Sorry, it was an announcement.
All right, well, give us your announcement.
Alloway Fest, the car show sponsored by the Alloway Optimist Club, is back. It will be the weekend of, the actual date is June 13th at Green Isle Park from 10 till 3 o'clock. So hopefully everyone's able to get out and enjoy it. Good to see some of these activities back on the books.
Sure. And with that number 13, the next meeting, did I see by the calendar that we're actually going to be face-to-face next meeting?
Yes. Yes, so after any meetings after June 15th, Village Board is said will be in person. So I guess if you do have any concerns, please message me privately and we can try and accommodate you. So.
Can I ask you a question just in general? That, you know, it was really nice this winter when I went to my sister's house in January and February. I was able to come to the meeting anyway because it was on Zoom. That is there going to, would there ever be an option, like if you still want to come but you're out of town, like Mike is, that you could do a hybrid meeting if somebody wanted to be there virtually? Was that not allowed under village statutes? I mean, I'm just curious. I don't want to do it right now, but
right.
Future maybe.
I think that could be an option in the future. I think the state, you know, because we will take the direction from the state. Once they kind of figure this out, now that more and more communities are back face-to-face, that's the ideal for them. Because then there's no interruption in the meeting. And people see who's present, they know how they voted. They can participate in the discussion much easier. But it could be a potential that this whole remote aspect will become something that's put into a state statute that is allowed.
Okay.
And Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, that webinar that we sat through, it doesn't necessarily say it's not allowed, it's just that it doesn't specifically mention that it is allowed, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
It's kind of one of those.
I would think there's some direction coming in the very near future.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the issue that I've had with Brown County and the Solid Waste Board, we've been meeting, hasn't been virtual. And we can meet virtually, but we can't vote. So I think that would be probably, at the very least, that would be an issue right now. Becky, I would say it probably follows the same rules. So, anyway, for what it's worth. So the next meeting is June 28th, if I have my calendar correct. What are we going to do for the comprehensive plan? Chapter 3 or 4? Or just 3?
Yes, I'm going to try and knock out two chapters next time. They're bigger chapters, but there's Chapter 3, which is transportation, and then 4 is, I think, economic development or housing, one of the two. But, yeah, I think we can try and knock both of them out. I'll use my best judgment. If there's something lengthy on the agenda, I'll only put one on there. But.
Okay. And then I assume the regular stuff will be on the there. So last item is the adjournment, unless anybody has any other discussion. Hearing none, all in favor of somebody make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All right, so we got a motion and a second. No other discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried, and Mike Box is 7:15.
Perfect.
Trevor?
Yes.
Is there a baby Fuller?
There is, yes.